Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
Blessed.
Very good. We're going to continue looking here, and I thought this particular image looked earthy enough. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And in case you want another take on it, I thought this was pretty good from Ziggy, if you get a kick out of that. Amen. Yeah, I mean, have you ever felt like that, right? Yeah. you can get it. And there was another Ziggy I saw years ago. I tried to find it, but it stuck in my mind. Ziggy, you know, he's looking at this, for the meek shall inherit the earth. He asked a question. He says, but will anybody step up to claim it? You know, you get that idea. But okay, that's the thing we got to look at here as we dig into this a little bit and we talk about it, is the first thing that really comes to mind is, what is meek? What do you mean there? Well, what does that do? Very often we will think of meek in terms of, he's a pushover. You can just kind of get away with whatever you want to do. Maybe somebody that's just beaten down. I don't know. Whatever it is. But somebody that's just a pushover, that's just going to give in and back up and back down. And so maybe sometimes we think of meek in that particular way. And that's probably legitimate in terms of our common usage today. I don't know if that's what's intended here. I don't think so. I've heard another expression used that may have a little more going for it, but I'm still not completely sure about it. I hear this expression. This word means power under control. Power under control. And the example that I've heard used several times, and I've seen it in different commentaries, is the idea of a stallion. A horse with all that power. I mean, they are majestic animals, aren't they? I mean, you ever seen a horse that's a runner? I mean, just amazing, you know. Kelly's dad has horses, and I'm not really a horse person, no brakes, but they're amazing animals to look at. They really are. I mean, just the size and the power and to be able to get on there and control that and really know what kind of power there. But I'm not entirely sure that's what it means either. I'm not entirely sure, because I keep coming back to the image that I've been trying to keep before us of what are the people like that are before Jesus, and I have a feeling they felt pretty powerless. They felt pretty powerless. They probably didn't view themselves as, when we got this world whooped, it's all going our way, that kind of thing. They probably didn't have a sense of, I've got power under control. Now, that plays real well a lot of times in our society, this idea of power under control, because in many ways we are powerful, aren't we? We are powerful, and so we like this notion that we can still be meek and have all this power under control. I'm just not sure there. I think it may have something to do with, maybe that's what we'll explore a little bit. There's a realization here, like I said, I come back to this Ziggy cartoon. Life is a struggle, isn't it? There is a definite struggle to it. And there is something to the idea that only the strong, you know that one, right? Only the strong survive, yeah. I remember growing up, remember, did anybody else watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? Okay, I see a few other smiles out there. I remember that because we'd go to church on Sunday night. And now, if I'm remembering this correctly, that was one of the shows that I'd get to watch after church. In other words, we'd make it home in time to see Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. So I don't know how many times I've heard Marlon Perkins talk about, you know, this, that, and the other kind of thing. So I got to watch that a lot, and we had like three channels, wasn't a lot of choice, so that was kind of the one I gravitated towards. But I can still remember that whole idea of the lion stalking the gazelle. I guess it was a gazelle, whatever it was. You know, you can picture the image in your own mind. And it seems to me, y'all can correct me, it seems like most of the time the gazelle got away. I don't think, they're probably keeping it kid-friendly, because it's a pretty gruesome thing when the lion catches the gazelle, isn't it? Yeah. And the truth be known, I pulled for the gazelle. I don't know why, you just kind of pull for the gazelle. But, you know, as you grow up a little bit, you learn to realize that if the lion doesn't catch the gazelle, what does the lion take back to her babies? Right? You know, how does, you know, so the reality in the world is what? Some gazelles get away and some gazelles get caught, right? Just kind of seems to be the way of things as you look out there. Someone dies or someone goes hungry. At least when you look at it from that way. There's an interesting article I read one time basically saying football is so popular in our culture because it's the one way we've got of still doing battle. One city can go against another, right? I mean, you can have that kind of a fight, and we can really get into it. Even the old Greeks had Olympics. The Olympics came from them. in that competition, and they had boxing and wrestling just like we did. In fact, interesting little news story 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, they have found some old manuscripts that describe how they wrestled and how they boxed. It's kind of interesting to see some of the techniques are still the same today. Something hadn't changed. If you go back to the Romans, you had the gladiators. In some cases, would fight to the death. I don't know. There seems something about this idea that, we've got to fight. And I found this little thing. It caught my eye because I always like to tell people I'm a lover, not a fighter. But then there's the other side of that. I'll fight for what I love, right? Does anybody else feel that way? We got any other lovers and not fighters in here? Okay, I am. I like to think of myself that way. But do we have any other people that will fight for what you love? Yeah, I'll do that too. Yeah, so there's a little bit of truth on both sides. It makes sense. And if you look at Scripture, if there's one thing we know about David, he was a fighter. In fact, after his son Absalom took over, pulled his coup and tried to take over the kingdom, one of the things he was made aware of is he was trying to figure out how to go after his father. You better remember, your father is a cagey fighter. He's a cagey fighter. You better be careful how you go after him. The man has fought a lot. He knows what he's doing. Jacob wrestled with God, didn't he? That's an interesting story in and of itself, but just that whole notion of wrestling with God, and I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's a struggle, isn't it? There's a struggle there. And you could look at Jacob's life, in a sense, as a struggle. I think you have a war metaphor in Scripture. Revelation comes to mind. We've done that just recently. There's war imagery in Revelation, isn't there? And we could dig through and find other things. Yeah. Well, you get the idea. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, fight the good fight. So what I'm getting at here is that there's one way of coming at meek where it's the pushover way and you really don't fight back. Okay. I'm not sure if that's what's going on here. I'm not sure if that's what's going on here because there is a sense in which we are called to fight. See, maybe the thing that we need to explore here about meekness is not that we're not called to fight and not that we're not called to make a stand, but maybe it's how we do it. How we do it. Now, let's explore that a little more. And what I want to do is I want to send us back to Psalm 37. We're all going to agree Jesus knew His Scripture, right? No problem there. We good? You think Jesus knew Psalm 37? All right. Now, we're going to jump through here a little bit. As you can see, I'm going to jump from verses 4. So I encourage you to read the rest of it, but you'll get the gist of it with this. Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land or the earth. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Is it too much of a reach to say Jesus might could have had something of this in his mind when he talks about inheriting the land, inheriting the earth? And one of the things you notice here is that injustice is a part of our world. It's just a part of it. It's something we live with. And whenever there's injustice, doesn't it bring about anger on our part? Doesn't it bring about a sense of wanting to right and correct and change the injustice? And that's a good thing. There's a good thing in a way that justice should be overcome. But the problem is that we very often do it out of anger that's not a righteous anger. It's not meek. It's not about I want to correct the wrong. Sometimes very often it's about I want to correct the wrong and I want to punish and we can, well, as James says, man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life God desires, does it? Yeah. Rage, wrath. Yeah. You see, here's the thing that I think Jesus may be warning us about. Again, it's not a matter of we just lay down. It's not a matter of we're just going to take it. Maybe it's a matter of how we go about it and how we go about fighting it. You see, very often it's so easy to become what you're trying to fight? And from a worldly point of view, isn't there some wisdom there? Isn't there some wisdom in becoming like your enemy? You know, becoming like him? I can pick a fun example. I like to follow NASCAR. And there's a saying in NASCAR, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. If you're supposed to be following NASCAR, you know what I mean. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. I mean, there are guys that will tell you, look, they're cheating. I know they are. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they're cheating. So we better be doing what down here if we're going to be competitive? Cheating too. And here's the thing, folks. That works in NASCAR. That's fine. And it really makes it kind of interesting. It actually makes... One of the things... I'm losing interest in NASCAR because they're doing away with the cheating. That's what makes it fun. I mean, there's that sense here of what are the rules and how do we get around them? And very creative ways in which they do that kind of stuff. You know? I mean, there's some real fun there in terms of how they, you know, how they do those types of things. One of my heroes was a guy named Smokey Unick, early NASCAR racer. And he read the rule book and figured out there was no rule for the size of the fuel line. So he ran a 2-inch fuel line down his car. Yeah. So that gives you, by the time he routed it, I think it gave him a couple extra gallons of gas. When a little bit of extra gas in a race, next week, what do you think they got a rule? Designating how big the gas line can be, right? And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I appreciate that creativity. And what I'm saying is, that's fine in NASCAR, okay? And there's a lot of things the world does that's fine and maybe works on its own. But we can't be drawn into that because it's so easy to become what we're trying to fight. It's so easy to become what we're trying to fight. And that's dangerous. I think we're meant to fight evil. I think that's intended. I think that's intended. We're intended to do that. But we've got to be careful that we don't become it in how we do it. Now, there's another thing here that may be important, and I want to get to this one. It's this idea of inheritance. I thought this one was funny too. I want to dwell on that a second because that might be an important little word that we miss here. What do you really own? I'm going to go with nothing. We good? I mean, what do you really own? Ultimately, whose is it? The Lord's. It belongs to God. It's ultimately all His. And who decides what happens with their stuff? The one that really owns it, right? The one that really owns it. And so we get this idea here, and I think it's an important word, this idea of inheritance, something you're going to receive, not something you've already got. And I wonder sometimes if the way that we come at things and we get into things wrong is we start to think in terms of my instead of his. My instead of his. How many things this week will you get angry over and you got no business getting angry about? You ever gotten angry at somebody because they got your parking place? You ever seen somebody rage because somebody got their parking place? Yeah. I mean, one of my pet peeves is those people that will pull out in front of you but won't go on. Right? And what makes me even mad... Now, I can understand it if traffic's real backed up. What makes me mad is when I look back in the mirror and there's nobody behind me. They want in front of me, but they don't want to go. And it amazes... I have to remind myself sometimes and stop and think, Barry, you're an idiot. There's no other word for it. Why are you angry about this? You could walk. And that wasn't so good this summer. I like that air. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing the things that we'll do. I mean, isn't it amazing sometimes how angry we can get over my idea? And protective of something like that. Isn't it amazing how we can get so angry over my way? You know, you have people that you keep up with, and you know people. And recent story from some people I know about the church where they are, and it comes down to a battle over two men in the church. And you can tell, and I know the situation a little bit. I'm knew enough about it that I know the personalities involved and that kind of thing. And what it comes down to is a couple of guys that forgot a long time ago it's God's church, and they start thinking it's theirs. And they started to reach the point that they'd rather see the church destroyed than the other guy win. That's not meek. That's not meek. Yeah. See, what I'm suggesting to you is that we are here to fight. I'm saying that meek is not a matter of just lay down and take whatever comes. There are ways of fighting, but we need to do it in a way that honors God, because it's really His. If we forget about that, wow, aren't we in so much trouble? I mean, think about it this way. Beginning of Romans 12, what does it tell us? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your acceptable worship. Yeah. Live it that way. Live in a way. Fight in a way that honors God. Fight in a way that God from His throne in heaven is looking down saying, yes, that's what I want from you. Not in a way that makes Him say, oh, and bring shame. Fight in a way that does that. Now, this next picture scared Kelly. So, close your eyes, kids. Isn't that an amazing sand sculpture? I thought that was incredible. Now, it is when you... can y'all see it pretty... Yeah, isn't it gruesome? Yeah. I thought that's a good image for wrath. What do you think? And see, here's the question. Here's the thing. Now, we can interpret this in all kinds of ways. I don't know what the artist had in mind, but I'm going to give it mine here. Have you ever wanted to do that to someone? Have you ever wanted to do that to someone? You see, the question is this. Whose hand is that in the picture? You see, the truth is, sometimes I'd like it to be mine. You will shut up. You will not. I am going to stop you. If it's the hand of God, that's different. You see, here's the point I want to make. We don't do wrath well, folks. God does. There is a sense of wrath in Scripture, isn't there? Wrath is in Scripture. The word's there. The word is there, the idea of wrath. But, well, we start out in Romans 12 just a second ago. Let's go down near the end of it, okay? Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head. And then catch this last one. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with... That's the way we fight, church. That's the meek way of going about doing things. How do we fight in such a way that leaves room for God's wrath, because we don't do it well, but allows us to take a stand for what's right? And now I want to return back for a moment to the Psalm 37. And, well, let's just not that far back. Now we've talked about that, let's look at it one more time. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. That's what I want to do. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy prosperity. Now there was something important that I said earlier. I want to say it again now as we wrap this up. Remember in fighting how easy it is to become like your enemy? To drop down to that level and do the things that they do, that, because they've done it, it justifies me doing it. What does that then make you? We good with saying it makes you wicked when you come down to that level? Now, verse 10, once you come down to that level, what's going to happen to the wicked? Eventually, they're going to be no more. If you can learn to fight evil with good, what's going to happen there to those who are meek? They'll inherit the land and they'll enjoy peace and prosperity. Yeah. Now, we're quick to get there. I still feel like this a lot of times. And that's a great question. And in a sense, isn't that a good prayer? We're getting cream down here, God. We're getting cream down here. But I don't care how much we're getting creamed. We can't become evil like the ones doing the creaming. We good, church? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. All right. Good enough.